Hey.
Hey. I'm so sorry. Did you get my message
I
that
did
I
not.
just
We were just chatting.
I just messaged you on Instagram. I have been away from my phone and I'm sorry I completely forgot this weekend.
No, it's okay. It's totally okay. Do you have you are you rushed? Do you have something you got to do?
No, I had something earlier that was unplanned, but now I'm good.
Okay. Nick Austin, we just so you know, we did a show without you the other night when you couldn't make it. So that behind JD has been there now for two shows.
Yes, you are
Oh,
on
it's like he's just promoting you constantly.
I think of you every time I walk in this room. I say, hey.
That's funny.
That's awesome, actually. Yeah, she knows how to promote, man. It's not even her name, it's yours.
It's not my name.
Brilliant. Nick, before we get started, because we're going to discuss your we're going to do your Oscar picks versus who actually won. But before we do that, I wanted to tell you that I have read some of the articles that you've been writing about the queer art,
Oh, yeah.
and they are so good. They're so good. I mean, your description of things like bring it to life, you know, brings it to life. And you know, a lot of times you'll see stuff that covers a review of a gallery night, or you know, pieces that are now being out there on display or whatever, and you don't get a feel for what they are or where they're coming from. But honestly, I really, it's what a niche, you know. It's like it's really, really good stuff, and we should let people know they can find it on the website that you work for, and that is what is right up there,
Yeah, I know.
right?
If you look at my background, you'll see that we have all of these. There we go. And a lot of my articles are primarily on pride.com, if that'll make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, pride.com, equal pride, out traveler, the advocate. I can see them all. But do you work with or for Tracy?
So you know, it's funny, before I started working for Equal Pride, the actual company, I freelance for The Advocate, and Tracy was my editor at the time, and so I work with her now. Yeah,
Okay, cool. Yeah, love her. I love this stuff. She's got
she's
such good
great.
stuff going on, honestly. Really well done, you. So let's
Thank
get into
you.
it. Yes.
Yes, the Oscars.
For last week, and I want to let you know that I don't want to call it false advertising, but commercials leading up to Sunday over here that would show bits of the Oscars, and it would be like, Jessica Chastain and Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper, and it would like zoom away, and it would be like, now on Sky Arts, the Academy Award movies. I was thinking I was going to get to watch it, and it was just
Oh.
Academy Award winning movies, not even from this year, but just in the
Oh.
past.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know, I felt extremely duped, but I got up the next morning and I watched every single clip imaginable. Every
I was
single.
looking for them too. Yeah, I wanted to see parts of it because I didn't get to see them at all. So I was doing my searching.
Yeah,
What were
but
some of your
everybody
favorite
had.
moments?
For me, I think one of the best moments, which nobody talked about, but I saw an article afterwards. I was wondering what Lily Gladstone was doing with the star glasses on her head. Do you know the story behind it?
No, I don't.
So when she was young, she went to school with this guy that she still keeps in touch with, and he gave them to her one year and said, one of these days, I'm going to see you at the Academy Awards, and I hope you get to wear these. And here it is, like 30 years later, She still has them and she wore them. And I was like, makes me love her even more. So that was
That's
my
incredible.
like amazing moment there. But what about you? Did you have a particular favorite?
Oh gosh, I really loved all the Kens and Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken. That will go down as probably one of the best moments in Oscars history. Just such a great production. And I can't imagine being in that room, seeing it live. It must have been incredible.
Yeah, that was quite a banger, man. It was really, Slash was playing with them from Guns N' Roses. Yeah, that was good. That was
I
really.
was excited that Naiad was
Oh,
nominated.
JD, come on with the Naiad.
It's so inspiring to me. And for your, you're very fortunate you did not turn 60 this year.
Oh no.
Why it hit me so well, so much, because in the movie she says, everyone expects you to just lay down and be a bag of bones when you turn 60, like feel game over. And I felt that very much so when I turned 60. And then to see that movie was very, ins I think that's why I'm such a freak about it. But they were both nominated. They didn't win, but they were both nominated. So that was good. I
Jodie
was.
Foster looked amazing.
I
Amazing.
know. I
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, she looked really, really good. But you know what? There, again, there I liked was it I don't want to get this wrong. Was it Rita Moreno that was speaking directly to America Ferrera?
Yes.
That was a moment right there. Like that was a moment. Like I got so sucked into that that I watched that clip like three times. It was
Wow.
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. And man, did she look good. Both of them. Rita Moreno looked amazing, but
Yeah, she
America
was
Ferrera,
great.
wow, that dress was just stunning. And she was the
Mountain of
only
Youth.
one that wore pink this time around for this last shebang. Robbie didn't wear pink. It was amazing. But I will say this, as I was watching it and I was watching the clips of the winners and everything, it all harkened back to that conversation that we had about why certain films were nominated and certain films would win, as opposed to ones that maybe should have won, or ones that were, I mean, more palatable, and that just kept going through my head, more palatable, more palatable. But
Yeah.
I will definitely say, I mean, you knocked it out of the park with your picks.
Yes. Good
You
job.
Yeah, at the end of it with 24 categories, I got 16 out of 24 nominations correct. And a lot of them were ones that I had hoped would win, even if that meant I would be wrong. So
Yeah.
a few of them, and then a few that I were completely surprised by. And
What? Like, give me a couple of examples of that.
yeah, so I think the first one, out of the way is Emma Stone winning Best Actress over Lily Gladstone. I think that was a huge shock for many people.
Yeah. I was hurt by it, like I really was, because there's something about the premise of Poor Things that I felt it was a man's idea to put this brain, this child brain in this woman for his own fantastical whatever reason, and it there was just something patriarchal about it that I don't know, like I just don't feel like it fits in these times, you know what I mean? Like I get that it was supposed to be about way back when, but I was really stunned like that was getting the attention, that it was like almost the total opposite of the logic behind Barbie, if that makes
True.
sense.
True. Yeah, that is kind of true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because, that the character that Emma Stone plays, I think that there is this criticism of how men like to create women, how they, create these narratives about them, and how everything is shaped through the male gaze. And so, I think that the film was criticizing that in a way, especially with Emma Stone's character Bella's her progression throughout the film. I wouldn't say it's a pro-patriarchal film. I think that it was pretty similar actually to Barbie and the themes that they were exploring. But no, the reason why I had issues with Emma Stone winning is because I thought Lily Gladstone deserved to win over her. That it had nothing to do with Poor Things itself. It was just that Lily Gladstone, I feel that her performance was something that I had never seen really on film before, and it was something where I felt no one else could do that, who could give such raw and vulnerable emotion. And even though Emma Stone's character, her performance was incredible, I just didn't feel the same way.
I will agree with you that in that I don't know how Lily Gladstone could, I mean, got through it. You know what I mean? Like, this was a movie that was deeply rooted in her past,
Yeah.
being Native American. And I think that was something that maybe people just didn't take into account. Like, what was
Yeah.
your next shocker? Because I think I might know.
Well, I don't know, because of the ones that we discussed last time, like the main acting categories, best picture, best director, all of those were pretty much locked in.
Yeah.
What were some surprises that you
Well, I think it was
noticed?
costume.
Oh yeah, costume.
Yeah.
I think overall for a lot of the technical ones I got wrong, like costume and production design, those went to Poor Things. I underestimated, and a lot of other pundits underestimated, that the Academy wouldn't take to Poor Things because of the subject matter, and because there's just so much criticism about how much sex is shown on screen and the type of humor. So a lot of people thought that the Academy wouldn't grasp onto that, but it looks like that with Poor Things being the second most winning film of the night, that it really did play well with the Academy. So that was something to know for next time.
They thought that it was going to be such a deliberate sweep by Oppenheimer for everything,
Yeah.
And like, a part of me just wants to scream, and it's like, you don't even really get to see the bomb. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you're waiting for, like,
Right,
that
right,
was 2.5 hours that we'll never get back, and we already knew the outcome. You know what I
right.
mean?
Go into it knowing, right.
Well, if you know it, I guess you don't really need to see the bomb actually,
Right,
you know.
exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was I again, I really thought that it was just going to be like sweep, sweep, sweep. It was just going to be all Oppenheimer, but I was super happy that the Billie Eilish song won,
Oh yeah, I can imagine that not winning that song. It's everywhere, that
Yeah.
song.
Yeah.
Everyone uses it for reels. It's just
Right.
so
I'll tell you, I was more not that I loved the whole Barbie soundtrack, but I am a massive Dua Lipa fan. Massive. I mean, I
really.
love her look. I love her music. I love everything, the videos, the everything. Like, I really, really, really would listen to those songs over Billie Eilish, because that's always so moody. Like, for me, I'm not a
Yes, it's
moody music
very,
singer.
yeah.
I'm a listener. Like, I don't need the moodiness of it all, but I
It's a
adore it.
somber.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
there's
it's
so
a
many up and comers that go either that way, where they're trying to do the moody, breathy, sullen, kind of ballady, oh, woe is me kind of music, and then you have the ones that do the
somber
deepest stuff, so at least there's enough of
Yes.
it. for everybody, because I mean, JD, do you remember when we had Martha, Lucy Burton's daughter, Martha Moxie? She does a lot of that Billie Eilish kind of
Yes,
music,
you,
you know,
yeah.
moody, but you know, still sounding young and breathy, like not, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I think it is a matter of taste, but it seemed that the Academy was all about Billie Eilish.
From a songwriter's point of view, though, I mean, wow, like to hit it out of the park, to make a song that gets in a movie, that the movie is so popular, and then it's on the soundtrack, and then now it's out in the world, and like every person making a reel that they want to show emotion on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok is using that some version of that song, you know, either just instrumental or, and it's like, wow, like just from, I can't imagine, like you write a song and then it becomes that. Like that's
Yeah.
just,
It
it's
didn't
what you
seem
hope for as a
to
writer.
matter. But Nick, correct me if I'm wrong. Did she do a Bond film too?
Yeah, she won her first Oscar for No Time to Die.
Really? Oh, okay. So this is not the first time with do so she did like a song for the movie for
Yes, for
won
that
an
James
Academy
Bond
Award.
film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
Talented.
her and Phineas are now, since they won two Oscars within this amount of time, they're the two youngest Oscar winners to win within that short amount of time, multiple Oscars.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And we got some great memes. We got the John Cena meme. I have to say, Dana Goldberg hit it out of the park with that one when she said, you know, straight women, ooh, John Cena's naked, lesbians, look at those Birkenstocks. That was good. But what did you think of it? So good. What did you think of it? Do you and not only about the show, like the whole show and everything, but what did you think of the outcomes? Even though they were surprising, did you go back and think that they were warranted? Did it make you think twice?
I think overall the show was very strong. I think that there were a few choices in direction when filming like I'm Just Ken and some of the other musical numbers that it could have been produced and shot in a much more engaging way for the audience. But it had the highest viewership since I believe 2020, before 2020. So, that's really great bouncing back from COVID. And Jimmy Kimmel, he's reliable enough for a very broad audience. So none of his jokes were at all snarky. None of them landed flat. So he did a decent enough job as host. For the wins themselves, for some of the surprises, I was really happy about, like with The Boy and the Heron winning Best Animated Feature over Spider-Man. I love both of those movies. But it's just great to see Miyazaki win another one. And also the Zone of Interest winning Best Sound. That is just such a really cool win. And it's something where you see a lot of action heavy, a lot of sound mixing involved for these wins with the Academy. But with a film like this, that is much more drama and the sound mixing is a lot more subtle. It's a really impressive win when viewing it that way. So it's like those little things that are really.
Because of it, I will say this, I immediately watched The Last Repair Shop. Oh,
Did you like it?
it did. It was amazing. And each person there that re, you know that you know the lady that does the brass and the guy that does the wind and the guy that does the strings and each one of their stories were just so interesting. Not to mention that adorable little girl at the beginning with the violin. I couldn't handle her cute, chubby little face, but I did like Yeah, cried a little bit, not gonna lie.
So the thing with the Zone of Interest, you probably would be able to watch it because it doesn't show what's very fascinating about the approach Jonathan Glazer took with that film is that it never shows what actually happens within the concentration camp. It focuses on the family of one of the people overseeing Auschwitz. That's where they're at, living
In
right next to it.
backyard, like backs up to
Yeah.
one of those, right?
Yeah, so you never see it. So it's not a very difficult watch because of what is actually shown. It's kind of like Oppenheimer in the way where they don't show the bomb, so they're not showing these atrocities that are happening, but you still get that sense of dread, So that is something that is really unsettling when watching the film, but I don't think it's something where it would be like a traumatizing watch.
That's what I need to do is find good stuff to to watch right after the heavy duty stuff. Like that's
Right.
I just
Right.
finished The Gentleman on Netflix and I fucking loved it. I loved it from start to finish. It was so good. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which I'm not loving at all.
That's a remake, right? Isn't that wasn't
Yeah,
it original?
it's not doesn't stick to the original script. It's a little different. And to be honest with you, and I don't want to offend you as a gay man, but I'm sick of seeing Donald Glover in underwear. Was just a little too much. It's a little too much.
That's
It
funny.
wasn't.
I don't think he has like a big following within the gay community specifically. I think he's more of like, straight man's man and,
Don't know.
women
I just
like
figured anybody that watched it would, like if you were gay, you'd be like, he's in his underwear.
that. I just
Yeah, I love The Gentleman. I just thought that was really so typical Guy Ritchie. So typical, a little witty, a little gory. It's a perfect balance, being very British, JD, very British, super British.
probably like it.
Out in the
Does it have
country, though, out in the country, it's not in central London.
and
But yeah, it was just smart and comedic. But like you went right along with there were a lot of little twists that you weren't really expecting, I think. So yeah, I was super happy with that one. And then I go back, like when I watch heavy things like that, then I'll watch a couple episode of Somebody Feed Phil. Because you have to, like, you have to see somebody goofy after something like that and be like, now, that's this is
true.
light.
You have to do the balance and offset it so you come back to being in a better
Oh
frame
God, yeah. Like if I'm learning anything, it really is about the balance,
of
in any way, shape, and form. Like you name it, drinking, drugs, movies, you name it, there's got to be the proper balance.
mind.
Eating
Me.
meat. Right, me. Oh man, did I learn the hard way. Oof, we won't even get into it. But you know what? Huge to you, my friend, for doing as well as you did, especially on the big ones. On the big ones, it was quite
Very
impressive.
impressed.
Yeah, very
Yeah,
impressive.
I'm honestly surprised after it was so successful for when was it? I think it was Sundance, maybe. I think it was Sundance when they did that hybrid system of being able to see the movies online or in person. And I really thought that more festivals would do that hybrid model after COVID because it was so successful. It offered so much more options for people who aren't able to attend the fest, even like not like
Right.
financial barriers, but like even like accessibility.
Location,
Yeah.
accessibility, like not having to pay for a plane ticket to
Yeah.
stay in some, fancy schmancy park, valley, whatever
Right,
place,
right.
pay for the ticket and watch it at home. Like, I just think that's an amazing option. I don't understand why more people aren't doing it, but it's been a rough festival season for them.
Yeah, they really have been scaling back, and there's been a lot of issues within like the whole festival industry in general because there have been some festivals that have been put on pause because of internal issues with the people who are now financially backing these festivals, and they're not making as much money because of probably a lot of the choices that they're making, these new people that they have. And now their answer to that is just scale back or, you know, shut down the festival. And so you would think that we would have all of this growing, you know, festival happening, and it's just the opposite.
And it's global, because they even had issues at BFI here in London. So like,
oh yeah.
What?
How hard is it, Nick? Like, do you know, like, when you have your short film or your indie film, like, how hard is it to get into the festival? Is it a matter of money? Like, do you need to?
Everybody pays a fee. Everybody pays a fee to submit.
Everybody pays to submit.
Everybody pays that 100, 200, or whatever to get their film seen.
Seen.
I'm doing that because that's, you know, a big issue to get it my ears seen by the program, who then with the board, right, decide whether they're gonna put it in the actual lineup.
So it's like a matter of like a board of people, like 10 people, 20 people, 6 people, something like that, to decide.
So I've actually volunteered for some indie film festivals in the past for viewing the films that were submitted, viewing the submissions, and then helping decide which ones would be programmed. And so I did that for a couple in the past, and that is really the process. You know, there are so many film festivals, so, you know, the fee can be either waived or there isn't a fee, so that sometimes isn't a huge barrier. But I'm not sure with a lot of the smaller platforms for film festivals, if they are able to really get the notice for these films, because there just are so many.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's just hard to get something to stand out. And, you know, you see that in the industry in general, in Hollywood, with indie films and how difficult those are becoming to produce even today. You know, you think that we would find all of these different solutions to increase the ability of funding indie films. But you know, because it's been such a long struggle, but it's just getting worse because all the people in power are all of these financial, like, business people who, you know, only care about what they think is going to make the most money. And so
if they're
going to
get in return,
blockbusters.
Yeah.
And they're wrong. That's the thing. They're wrong. So
they are. They're so wrong.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah, that's I always see look at everything from the point of view of the music side of it, and it's just so incredibly difficult to get heard, you know. And I'm imagining it's the same way. You could put your heart and soul and funding into making a movie and try to get, because I would imagine getting into those film festivals is really a great push for your movie to ever get to the next step. So
it's huge. And you know, the weird thing, Jay, speaking of the music part of it, is how many, the crossover, like the other night I was flipping and I'm like, Garth Brooks. And I'm looking at it and it's like, new documentary, Friends in Low Places, the building of Garth Brooks Bar. And I'm like, what? Somebody made a documentary about his bar? What? So
do it right.
And I just watched the Tim McGraw and Faith Hill documentary this morning over my coffee this morning, and I was just like, huh, they will make a movie about anything these days.
Anything, right?
Not saying it's bad, but they're very formulaic, you know, like, Tim was born in such and such Oklahoma, you know, to, you know, whatever, and then found out later on that his father was, you know, World Series pitcher Tug McGraw. And I'm like, oh my God, it's all stuff we know.
It's stuff we know already, right?
But anyways, there's a lot of garbage out there. And Nick, we rely on you to help us weed out the garbage and develop a more sophisticated palette when selecting movies. So we can't let you go ever.
We're not letting you go.
The whole thing about movie taste, you know, what you like is what you like. You know,
Yeah,
nobody
it's
should
definitely
be the
subjective,
arbiter of
but
taste, you know.
I think maybe a better way of saying it is that you will clue us in on the good things that are coming down the line as opposed to, us watching the garbage that we see that's out there that comes up in our algorithms for being
Yeah.
terrible at this.
There's just so much. There's so much, you know, content out there. And
It's
yeah.
overwhelming, to be honest. It really is
It
overwhelming.
is.
Yeah. But that's what we rely on you to steer us in the right directions and tell us why we should or shouldn't. So thank you
Yes.
for that. And thank you for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon to spend with us. I mean, these people don't know how lucky they are to get a double shot this weekend
Yes.
of JD and I discussing the street juice of New York City to the Oscar-winning films that we've just seen. Double
I know.
shot again. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate you rescheduling and, you know, being so accommodating. So thank you.
Yeah,
Always.
hopefully we'll get you back next month to see what's new and
Yes.
what's happening. Yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
Sure. Thank you
All
so
right,
much for
sweethearts.
having
So
me. Thank
long.
you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Why do
Why
you
do
always
you
run
always
back
like never stop chasing your
to
dreams. We drank way too much
the
whiskey.
love of your new addicted to a
There,
tone?
Betsy.
That's true.
See?